Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Welcome to another Monday episode of the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Trent Horn, Catholic apologist and speaker. And Mondays, I'm hoping to turn into Meet Them Mondays. Great times to interview with wonderful Catholic guests and even non-Catholic guests on all kinds of interesting topics related to the faith and even just things that are really, really interesting. So my next guest is someone that you're probably already familiar with. You may have met him before if you listen to Catholic Answers Live, especially on Thursdays when he opens his encyclopedic mind to share with all of us during open forums, as well as in his numerous books and articles that he's written. He is my friend, colleague, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. He is the one and only Jimmy Akin.
Hey, how you doing, Trent?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being on the Council of Trent.
No problem. By the way, my encyclopedic mind is available for a low monthly installment plan, so...
Oh, very good. Yeah. Now you just need to hire somebody who can go out and you know, try
to
market it to
door.
People. Yeah, like people who used to sell the entire like series of encyclopedia sets.
That's how we got the first set of encyclopedias when I was a kid, yeah.
I remember there's a great episode of Friends where Penn Jillette guest stars as an encyclopedia salesman, and he tries to sell the entire set to Joey, and Joey can't possibly afford the entire set. Because but he really wants to be smarter to impress his friends, so he just buys V. And so then the next day he just tries to talk about anything intelligent related to V, like, you know, volunteering, or you guys hear about the Vietnam War, and everyone says, well, yeah, but, you know, what about the Korean War? And suddenly Joey's like, gotta get the other ones. So good thing to know in here.
Now, since it was Penn Jillette selling these encyclopedias, when he opened them up, did it have like hissing cockroaches in them or something?
None that I was able to see, though actually Penn and Teller is one of my favorite shows in Vegas. Whenever I go there or I take people to Vegas, you know, I usually just go, honestly, just for the food and, you know, maybe a little bit of slots here and there. But he is a excellent magician and a pretty decent open-minded guy. I've enjoyed seeing some of his interviews online.
Despite the fact he's an atheist, he's actually been fair-minded towards Christians.
He actually said at one point that it would be hateful for a Christian to not proselytize.
Mm-hmm. Not share the gospel with people.
Right, because if that is what keeps them from going to hell, then that would be a hateful thing for you to not do that. So definitely a very good thing for him to share. I want to talk about today on the show, you are doing at least a new podcast, seems new to me, is Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So I've done podcasting for a number of years. I mean, not just on Catholic Answers, but also on my own. There's the Jimmy Akin podcast. And then I've also worked extensively with a podcasting network that's called StarQuest. And for years, I've wanted to do something, and I've thought of doing it as a book, and I may still do it as a book, but something that explores kind of the unusual, the mysteries in life, whether natural or supernatural, with varying degrees of credibility, some of them very credible, some of them not at all credible. You know, I grew up watching things like In Search Of, with Leonard Nimoy, which would, back in the 70s, it would investigate you know, Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, or talk about pyramids or things like that.
Right.
And I've watched many other programs, you know, Unsolved Mysteries back in the 90s was something that my wife and I watched. Mm-hmm. And so...
they always had Robert Stack in some alley somewhere filled with fog, ready to tell you about the next mystery.
Well, he had been on The Untouchables, so he was Elliot Ness.
Oh, right, right.
But anyway, so I've wanted to do something. I've had an interest in that area for basically my whole life. And I wanted to do something that would put that in a Catholic context. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to the folks at StarQuest, and this idea for a podcast came up. And so we recently launched it. It's a couple months old. So if you want to catch up on the back episodes, they're there. They're, you know, 30 minutes or a little bit longer in length. And we cover both natural and supernatural mysteries. Mm-hmm. And we cover them from each one of them from the twin perspectives of both faith and reason. Mm. So we'll say, okay, what does reason have to say about this particular mystery? And then also, what does the faith have to say about this particular mystery?
Well, I'm really excited to hear about that. And I think it's funny, the more and more I speak with you, the more I find just the overlapping interests, which seriously excites me. One, you know, comic book and or even, you know, different television shows like Community and things like that. But I, too, when I was a younger lad, loved television shows about the paranormal. Unsolved Mysteries was one. Mm-hmm. But I also like the television show Sightings.
Oh, right.
So and I'll play a little clip of that here for our listeners. But just keep in mind, one reason I like this show, I think when I was like 10-year-old Trent, it fascinated and also really spooked me out at night when I turn off the lights. I mean, here's part of the intro.
At that point, it started to appear.
They had large, dark eyes, claw-like hands.
I began sensing and knowing and feeling.
I do believe in life after death. I mean, I've been there.
We have not scratched the surface of what the mind can do.
So you can imagine under the cover, just like, what's it going to be this week? But I think this is something that is good for us to dive into, because I think some Catholics have like maybe a knee-jerk reaction that it's like paranormal activity, things like this are just 100% satanic or occult, and so we should just simply not investigate them at all. Do you think that's probably a problematic attitude?
Yeah, that's any kind of uncritical attitude. Now, that's kind of a form of religiously uncritical attitude, just chalk it all up to the devil. Mm-hmm. There are also like skeptical or secular uncritical attitudes, just it's all bunkum.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do on my podcast is to look at things in a way that applies critical thinking from the faith and reason perspective. So I'm not going to be utterly dismissive of everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to chalk absolutely everything up to Satan, although obviously Satan is real and is active in the world.
Some of these things like demonic possession, you might think, oh, we could make quite a valid inference there from reported cases that this could be demonic or diabolical, but it doesn't necessarily follow that anything that is operating outside of our normal understandings of the world goes to him. It could just be our normal understanding of the world has to be broadened. There's things we haven't figured out yet.
Right. And one thing that, you know, if someone had the inclination to say, well, any kind of weird spiritual activity must be Satan, anyone who has that attitude really doesn't know the Catholic tradition very well, because the Catholic tradition recognizes that the supernatural world is broader than just God and the devil, and that God can allow the supernatural world to interact with us. Mm-hmm. We see many cases of angels interacting with people in the Bible. Also, down through church history, the church has had reports of the spirits of the dead being allowed to manifest themselves, sometimes in the case of private apparitions, like of Mary and the saints, but also in the case of like souls in purgatory, who have manifested at various times in church history and, for example, asked for prayers to help get them out of purgatory. And that is essentially ghostly phenomena.
Yeah, I wanted to move into that just to give an example of something related to this topic about the paranormal, because a lot of people, I think there's a large percentage of people who believe in the existence of ghosts. I think one thing with my wife, I'll tell her like, oh, you know, I dare you to, you know, go online, you know, wait till all the lights are out and on YouTube search like most convincing ghost apparitions. And one thing that's, I think, encouraged people to be more interested in the phenomena of ghosts is the alleged ability, the ability people claim now to photograph or record ghostly apparitions and share them very quickly with a lot of people, like on YouTube, social media, either snapshots or videos or electronic voice phenomena. If you've ever,
that.
Yeah. So yeah, what should Catholics make of this? Because a verse that pops out at me when people think about ghosts is when Jesus walks on water in Matthew 14. If we go to Matthew 14, talk about how the disciples get into a boat and they went to meet Jesus on the other side of the sea when he dismissed the crowds. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land. It was being beaten by the waves. The winds are against them. When the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately he, Jesus, spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." So yeah, how should we look at ghosts?
Yeah, this is one of the things that many people don't realize is that the Bible is not at all closed to the idea of ghosts. It was part of the standard worldview back then. In fact, it was such an assumed part of the ancient biblical worldview that God had to warn people in the Old Testament not to call up ghosts to try to get information from them.
Like what Saul totally did not do.
I was just going to mention. Yeah. God said that I'm going to send you prophets and you're to listen to the prophets, but don't consult ghosts. Mm-hmm. Don't try to conjure them up and get info. Mm. And that was one of the practices of the Canaanites and many other people in the ancient world, and various Hebrews did it as well, including King Saul. Mm-hmm. There was a point in Saul's reign where things were not going well for him, and he had tried inquiring of God, and God wasn't answering him. Mm-hmm. And so he went to a medium in the town of Endor, and she's known as the Witch of Endor. The Bible doesn't use the word witch, but she's in Endor, and that's actually where we get Endora from on Bewitched. Samantha's mother, the character
Endora.
Is apparently the Witch of Endor.
Okay.
But Saul goes to the Witch of Endor and says, please bring up the shade of the prophet Samuel for me. And he does. And the biblical text says that Samuel comes up out of the ground and says, why have you disturbed me? And it presents this in a totally straightforward way. Some people have said, this has to be a demon.
It's an imposter.
Yeah, but the Bible doesn't say that.
Right. You would think it would, if it's to teach us a lesson, there'd be some parenthetical comment or, it would just, it would tell us. Like, why would we need to infer that if there's nothing from the text pointing in that direction?
Yeah. So, as I was saying, the Bible presents it in a totally straightforward way, as if this is Samuel. And that's, an Old Testament example of this, but we see it in the New Testament as on the Sea of Galilee when they think it's Jesus' ghost. In Luke, after the resurrection, Jesus eats bread in the presence of the disciples to prove to them that he's not a ghost. But what he doesn't say is, come on, guys, there's no such thing as ghosts.
Right.
Ghosts can never manifest to people. He never says anything like that. He just says, I'm not one.
Right. Now, knowing, of course, that different words in the Bible have different meanings, would a ghost and a person's soul or spirit kind of just be synonymous? Like a ghost is the appearance of the soul or the spirit, or are they different things?
Actually, they're even tighter than that. They're exactly the same thing. English has a dual vocabulary. It's the base language that became English was Germanic, related to German and Swedish and things like that.
Right.
But then, due to Christianization, English also has a heavy influence of Latin.
Right.
And then also, because of the conquest of the Normans in 1066, you got all this French, which is one of the Romance languages derived from Latin. So you have this kind of Germanic and Latin dual vocabulary in English, where we have two words for the same thing, like pig and swine, or dog and hound. And this is what we have with ghost and spirit. Ghost is a Germanic derived word. In modern German, the word is Geist, but it just means spirit,
like a poltergeist.
Yeah, or the Holy Spirit. I forget the word for holy in German, but Geist
is a Geist.
Yeah, and then Spiritus from Latin gave us spirit in English, but it means the same thing as ghost.
That's why an older translation of the Scripture, the third person of the Trinity, is often called the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, right? So they mean exactly the same thing. It's just a matter of fashion which word you're using.
So yeah, what should, I guess, when Catholics are hear about or maybe even think things are haunted, paranormal activities, the spirits of the deceased are lingering on in places. I know, for example, one of my favorite spots here in San Diego is the Whitney House down in Old Town. I always want to go and take my wife, but she refuses to go because of the claims that it's haunted. And I've been through there several times. My mother actually went through there when she was a little girl and felt like a presence pushing her down when she was trying to climb up the steps. And other people have reported apparitions, ghostly appearances and things like that. I guess, how should we process these? Because I guess the way we can look at it for claims about ghostly appearances is there could be a mixture of natural explanations and supernatural explanations that kind of covers the gamut.
Yeah. So what I would say Christians should do in thinking about this is exercise critical thinking. There is a distinction to be made between natural explanations, which can be anything from it's just your imagination, to there is something weird in the air conditioning that's causing a cold spot right here, given the way the house is built. Or there can be, and this is something particularly in places where they use, on the Northeast coast, where they use boilers for heating in the winter, you can get air bubbles in the boiler pipes that will cause a knocking sound at night.
Oh.
And so there may be real, even if it's not your imagination, there may be real physical phenomena that are producing it, but they're purely natural. Then there, if it's a supernatural phenomenon, it could be something that that God has allowed to happen because he wants – I mean, it could be a prelude to an apparition of a saint, although normally those don't start so weird. The indications seem to be that they come on fairly straightforward.
Right.
But it could be a soul in purgatory that is, either – doing penance in some way associated with a place. I read an account once of a nun who had passed on that would appear in the adoration chapel where she lived, or she had lived, because she'd been inattentive during her adoration in life and was making up for that now. And so it could be that God is allowing a soul in purgatory to do something like that. It also could be God is allowing a soul to manifest in some way to ask for prayers. It could be God's just allowing us to have an experience of a departed loved one as a way of knowing that loved one is okay.
Right.
I noticed when my wife passed on back in the 90s, I didn't have this experience because, and I think because my faith was strong.
Right.
And so I knew she was in God's hands, and I had reason to think she had died in a state of grace. And so I wasn't worried about her. Unduly, but other people whose faith was not as strong in our circle, had more anxiety, and they were the ones who also said, I felt Renee's presence. And so I think, I have no reason to challenge that. God may have allowed them to have an experience of her presence after death as a way of reassuring them that she survives and that she's okay. So that's another possibility as well. Then there are things that could flat out be demons.
Right.
And so we have to apply critical thinking, and there's a range of options for what any given report could be due to.
Before I talk a little bit about some more of those options of what comes up, I do have, I guess, kind of more, it's a philosophical or question of mythology. Basically, how are we perceiving that if these are actual supernatural occurrences involving spirits of the departed, things like that, it would seem to me that if I perceive a ghostly apparition of a departed loved one in the chair over there, then if there is something there that I'm seeing, that the light or a photon would have to be reflecting off of something and entering my eye for my brain to process. Yet if they're immaterial, that seems problematic. Whereas the only other alternative might be that you were using the phrase God would allow something to happen as if through a divine intervention, he just may be allowing this image to directly enter my ability to sense or perceive. Do you see what I'm trying to work through?
So one of the things we learn from the Bible is that at least some spiritual creatures like angels can have a direct impact on matter. They can do things like roll stones away from tombs or bring about, save people from plagues or things like that. So we know that angelic spirits have the ability to interact with the material world, even though they themselves are immaterial.
Right.
And it could be that human spirits have some similar capacity, maybe not to the same degree. We don't seem to be as powerful as angels.
Right.
Scripture talks about us being made for at least for a little while lower than the angels. But it could be that human spirits have some similar ability that God occasionally gives permission for it to be manifest And so that could be responsible for a physical image of a ghost. On the other hand, it could be essentially a vision, something that's happening in your mind, but that doesn't have an actual physical manifestation. So you might see it totally clearly in your mind and even as think you're seeing it with your eyes, but if you had a third-party camera looking at the situation, it might not show anything.
Right. And the Bible talks about that as well. It talks about, you know, both, you know, the, of course, there's the bodily appearances of Jesus to people. There's spiritual appearances, like when Samuel appeared to Saul.
Right.
And then there might be things that are more visionary, like when Paul had the vision of the Macedonian.
Yeah, now he had that in a dream, but the fact that dreams are something we all experience,
right,
show us how we can have vivid mental imagery that seems real, even though it doesn't correspond to external reality. We all have that on a nightly basis, even though we usually don't remember it.
Right.
And the same faculty in us that produces dream imagery can be switched on when you're awake, and God could switch it on for purposes of allowing communication between you and a saint or a ghost.
Right. Well, as we come down to the end of our time together here, let's talk a little bit about, I think a lot of people have an interest in wondering about ghosts because they're especially concerned or scared about malevolent entities, and they may think that they're seeing sounds, hearing things that are somewhat threatening. Now, in some cases, I like what you're saying, that will first be critical. It may be the case, you know, it's the pipes acting up, the house settling, or other people pose this to us, it could be some kind of trickery. There's a famous case of the Enfield poltergeist in England, for example, claiming that, like, there's a picture that's posted of you can, I'll show it to you here, of the of a girl supposedly being levitated by a spirit. But to me, it kind of looks like what you would see if she had jumped off that bed. The picture was taken in midair. So it can be that. But in other cases, people have, you know, concerns about things that sound malevolent.
One thing, and just to mention another possibility that's not demonic, but that could seem like what's going on here, is an idea that some people have talked about, that there may be a kind of spiritual remnant of a person that's left behind, a kind of psychic residue. And that could be, and some Catholic, you know, writers have talked about this. The idea is that the person's soul may have gone off to be with God, but they may have left some kind of spiritual or psychic impression on a location where they, with which they were associated. And if they'd undergone, say, a traumatic event there,
right,
like, you know, they were being tortured in a dungeon or something, and you go to that dungeon and that's the residue they've left, you might have a traumatic impression. It's not due to a demon necessarily.
But you have a sense of foreboding, or you feel different.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that accords with how we feel, that people have described this, where they'll move into a house and have this sense of, you know, something doesn't seem quite right, or you know, things like that, and then later come to find out that a violent crime was committed there, or suicide, or things like that.
Also, similarly, when you have in the Bible, even when the good guys show up, you know, an angel appears, our first instinct is alarm.
Right.
Usually, the first thing an angel tends to say is "Don't be afraid,"
right,
which indicates the person was just getting afraid.
Right.
So even when the good guys show up, it can be unnerving.
Right. So, do you recommend that if someone is concerned about this, like, maybe they should talk to a priest about even like blessing their home or exorcisms? What do you think?
I was just going to say, the logical place to start if you have phenomena like this, one thing you can do in case it's it might be a ghost in purgatory that's manifesting in some way, you can pray for that person, have mass said for them. You could have a priest come and bless your home. If you have really intense phenomena, the word is not possession for places, it's infestation. But if there's significant evidence of a strong presence of evil, and a blessing doesn't cure it, then you could talk to the diocesan exorcist and have him come and investigate and see if an exorcism is warranted to get rid of the infestation.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Akin, for being with us today. Where can listeners find out more about your work and about your ventures into the weird world?
They can go to jimmyakin.com. That's JimmyAkin.com. They could go to the StarQuest Podcasting Network at sqpn.com, or they could go to YouTube and just type, or Google and type in Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World.
Oh, it's Jimmy Akin's Mysterious. I don't know why I'm thinking Weird World, but
probably because I do Weird Questions Day on
you
Catholic
do.
Answers
That's
Live.
That's right. Yeah. So we have Weird Questions with Jimmy Akin on Catholic Answers Live, and Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World,
right,
for his podcast about the strange and mysterious, natural and supernatural. Though I will encourage you with this, Jimmy, that if you wrote a book, Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, I think that would be, I would buy the copy right off the press. So.
Thank you. And I've thought about it, although I've also thought about having that one be under the title Jimmy Akin's Book of the Weird.
Ooh, I like that as well. Well, thanks so much for stopping by today.
My pleasure.
That was Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. Hope you guys will check out a lot of his resources. And thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. If you found this helpful, please share it with others. And don't forget, by becoming a premium member, you get access to all kinds of extra content. We got extra episodes this week just for you by becoming a member at TrentHornPodcast.com. So head over there and become a premium subscriber. Otherwise, thank you guys for your prayers, and I hope you have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.